I'm going to be in Luke chapter 24 tonight. If you want to turn there, Luke chapter 24. In fact, I'm going to be in Luke chapter 24 tonight, even if you don't want to turn there. Thank you. So, thankful for the graciousness I've received and opportunity to renew friendships and fellowships with people. It's been a tremendous blessing, and thankful for what's going on in Green Bay in my absence. My son had a chance to teach. Don Moore teaches a college courage Bible study on the first Friday of every month, and he wasn't able to do it this month, and so Ben Keck taught it. So I'm thankful for that. And he volunteered to do that and showed some initiative on the thing. I'm grateful for that. I don't know how it went, but as far as I know, he's still alive and well. So we're thankful for that. Looking forward to what the Lord's going to continue to do here tomorrow. And isn't it good to be saved?
Yeah.
Really good. I was thinking, yeah, I need to turn that. Thank you. Well, I'm good at clipping it to my belt these days. Just not so hot to turn it on. All right, how's that, Vlad? All right, good. I was noticing Bryce with that bow as well. And if you got an extra one of those, Bryce, I want to take one of them home. Hey, man. I figure my wife could use it to straighten me out. So that would be a blessing. However, I did. I was impressed with your wife. She behaved very well under the instruction of that bow. That was impressive. That was good. We're in Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 13. And Lord willing, going to bring a message tonight on what Jesus has in mind. And one of the things that it's been a blessing to me to discover from time to time in the Scriptures is that God has a modus operandi. He has a method of operation. He has a way He does things that is repeatable. And I'm thankful for the Lord showing me a few of those things such that it raises your confidence in God when you can see, pick up what He's doing at step number one and not have to wait for step number three to find out what's going on. And I enjoy that, looking in the Bible. For instance, 1 Kings chapter 17, He sends Elijah up on a mount. And there's a pattern there that God uses over and over and over and over again in the Scripture where the supply is not here, the supply is where I'm sending you. And although it's roadkill cafe, if you're going to eat, you're going to have to go up in the mountain. I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And so the blessings of even provision were where Elijah was told to go. If he don't go, he don't eat. And that'll motivate any prophet. Amen? So it was just good to take a look at the thing that, it's good to know that if God orders you someplace across town to make a call, to the hospital to encourage some sick saint up and down the neighborhood trying to recruit some people for your Sunday school class. If the Lord calls you to go someplace, He's going to provide for you. But the provision is going to be where you're supposed to be. And that pattern is over and over again in the Scripture. Well, there's one here in these two or several folks on the way to Emmaus that run into the stranger. And it says, verse 13, "Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they walked together," or they talked together, "of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, said unto Him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And He said unto them, What things? And He said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, when they found not his body. They came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And he drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed and brake it, and gave to them, and their eyes were open. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And he said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us? While they talked with us by the way, and while they opened to us the scriptures. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight. We desire, Lord, to learn something about how you behave, so that, Father, we might be a little sooner to recognize you. Father, we would ask that you would help us and add, conviction to the understanding so we can put these things into practice. We would ask, Father, that you would help us and minister to us tonight, and we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. And all God's people said? All right, now the disciples are hurting. The Lord's been taken from them, and their hurt has caused the same kind of thing in them that it causes in you and I. And that is when we're disappointed, when we're hurt over something or other, that things aren't going the way, maybe it's emotional pain, financial pain, physical pain, whatever, we're hurt, and it affects our ability to believe. I can't believe these two guys are walking down the street. A man joins them and begins to enter into their conversation, tells them all about, from Moses to the present day, about Jesus Christ and the Scriptures. And they say to him, well, this is the third day. And it never dawns on them that they might be talking to Christ. I mean, didn't he tell them plainly he's coming back on the third day? Destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. How do they miss it? They missed it because they're hurting. They missed the whole thing. He had joined them, and their eyes were holding. It says that's what hurt does. When you're disappointed and you've taken a blow, and you think, I'll just pop up off of this this ground that I got knocked down to, and I'll be the same as before, not quite so fast. The hurt will have caused some doubt. Well, it's caused some inattention to detail. You will have lost some wisdom. You will have lost some knowledge. You will have lost some contact with the Lord, such that you are not the same as before. These two guys walking to Emmaus would have recognized Jesus Christ if he showed up like before. And when he broke the bread, they finally saw it. And so you understand that they're talking about the right thing, but they're leaving town. They have decided there is nothing more happening at Jerusalem. They've killed our Lord. He's been buried now for 3 days, and it's time for us to skedaddle. It's all over. It don't look like there's anything else going to happen here. Whatever we were called and asked to do of the man, he's dead now. And, till death do us part, and he's dead, so I'm out of here. And they're reacting that way because they're disappointed and they're hurt. So what happens when that happens to you and I is the same thing happened to these people. You say, I will go to church, and I will fellowship with God's saints. That's a good thing to do. And I will get something out of the message. Maybe not as easy as you were before until the hurt's taken care of. It's difficult for a Christian to operate dragging one leg. Better he do that in God's will than have two legs to walk into sin with. Amen, amen? But the point nevertheless is that you find over and over and again in the Scripture, when a man gets confused, he gets hurt somehow, like Moses at the burning bush, arguing with God about giving, I'm not eloquent, I can't do this, they won't listen to me, I'm wanted for murder in Egypt, and all the reasons that he offered not to go, and as if God didn't know that and was asking somebody to go back there and just get beat up for him. And that's not the man of faith Moses became. But he sure had his doubts about things. And then there was a day that Moses wanted God to kill all Israel, and God didn't want to, and God wanted to kill them all, and Moses didn't want him to. And they couldn't agree on the same thing at the time, or Israel would have been done. But nevertheless, the point is that what kind of leader is it that asks God to kill all his followers? Well, he's hurt. What kind of leader is it that smashes the idol into powder and strews it on the water and says, all right, now drink it, and gets his little vengeance of forcing people to drink the water? That's not the way Moses is known in the Bible when you talk about Moses' good points. But when Moses is hurt, Moses is not the normal Moses. David is running from Saul, and he's running, I don't know, some 13 years. And every time God sends him around one side of the mountain, he sends Saul around the other way. And David's been protected marvelously all this time. And he says, there's nothing better for me than to go live with God's enemies. And he goes and spends 16 months or so with the Philistines. Absolutely not what God wanted him to do. Why did he do that? He's hurt. The running from Saul finally got to him. Water will punch a hole in any rock if it drips on it long enough. And you understand that sooner or later you're going to be hurt. If you're not now, sometime in the future, there'll be some hurt come along. It's part of the wear and tear of life. And what can you expect when you're hurt? How is the Lord going to minister to you? Well, number one, he shows up. It says in verse 15, it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with him. If you'll at least stick with the stuff and learn to talk about the right things, if you'll be concerned about the things of the Bible and Scripture, if you'll be concerned about spiritual things, the Lord will show up long before he reveals himself. Can something be present and it not be revealed? Well, sure it can. Christian, you got a quarter in your pocket? Anybody got a quarter in their pocket? Raise your hand if you got a quarter in your pocket. There's a man back there with a quarter in his pocket. Now, y'all believe it? Vlad says he's got a quarter in his pocket. It's there, but it's not been revealed. Right? Until you see the quarter, you don't know whether he's lying to you or not. Now, you expect these two men to be honest enough in a church service that they'll tell the truth. Amen, amen? So I'm guessing they got a quarter. It's present without being revealed. Well, that's exactly what... In the middle of your hurt, Jesus is there long before you know he's there. He's there long before you pick up the picture. He's there long before that walking with these people. He spent several hours with these guys and talked Scripture with them and talked Bible with them. Fortunately, they were interested enough in that. I think that's why Jesus stopped by in the first place. But the idea is that your faith has to be such that now that I'm hurt, Jesus is not afar off. Of all the people on the face of the earth that he could have showed up with, he showed up with these two guys leaving town. What is that? He cares for the little guy. He cares for you and I when we're hurting, when we've been disappointed, when our plans have been dashed. And I know he taught them all about what they're supposed to know. But can I tell you, when you're hurt, sometimes you can forget the simplest of things. Going through a rough time, I know my deacons. I know their first and last names. I know their wives' names. I know all their kids' names. And I'm going through a rough time, and I can't even remember Marty's last name. And we have a visitor in the church service, and says, I'd like to have you meet my good deacon, Marty. Marty, meet. Going through a rough time, going through my dark time. I'd lead the congregation in singing, and I'd forget what verse we're on. And I have to stop and say, have we sung two or three verses? The congregation would look at me and smile and say, we should sing verse number 3, preacher. I'd say, okay. So we'd start verse number, after just 2 verses, I didn't know where I was. You say, what's the deal? I'm hurting. I couldn't remember telephone numbers. I couldn't remember birthdays. I couldn't remember people's names. You say, you were growing old quick. No, I was hurting. What's going on is when you're hurting, there wasn't much of a working of God to hold Jesus Christ's identity from them. They were already hurting, and it'll do it by itself. You will not be able to see the Lord in what's happening to you. You will not be able to understand why it's happening to you. And you'll not get the picture of, all of a sudden, what am I? Some sort of vomit on the highway of life? I used to be usable. I used to be able to do something. Folks, I'd get up and preach and have my outline right in front of me and couldn't read my own handwriting. See, what'd you do? I winged it. I wung it. Is that past tense for winged? What would you do? I'd invent 2 points that worked there and preach them like I knew what I was talking about. When you're hurting, it just, things don't, you don't get the picture. Your understanding is clouded. You're in a fog. And I have a computer game I play, and you can switch the fog of war on, or you can switch it off. And when you switch it off and your plane flies over their territory, you see everything. How many troops they got, and how many anti-aircraft guns they got, and how many ships they got in port, and all that kind of thing. You put the fog of war on, you can't hardly tell nothing. Can I tell you, there's something to that fog of war thing, even in the Christian life when you're hurting. There's a certain fog that's up there. And it's just not, the wound is fresh maybe, and you're still bleeding. You're still dealing with the disappointment, the dashed expectations, the disruption, the doubts and fears. And can I tell you, when you finally find Jesus, you'll find out He's been there long before you thought. He was keeping it from getting any worse. He was helping you over the rough spot. He directed your conversation to where it would be of things of the Lord instead of the things of doubts and fears. Yeah, He took care of you in ways that you weren't even aware of. I'm going through one of the roughest times in my life here about 12 years ago, and I had a lady of the church walk up to me who had never said anything like this before, and she said, you know something, preacher? Over the last 2 months, your preaching has really improved. Wow! She says, I can't wait to hear what you got to say now. And it makes me wonder, why did you come to church for the first 5 years? And I had other people tell me that. They said that you know what I was doing up there? I was fumble dorking around. I was stumbling over myself. I was calling Moses Abraham, and Abraham Moses. And I got David misnamed with somebody else, and I was confusing everybody and everything, man. I was hurt. And, I was trying to stay about the Lord's business. I was trying to, I didn't have any instructions to quit. I was just bleeding in the right place. And you get that kind of situation going, and it's hard for you to see the Lord. Your eyes are holding. And I'd wake up and go down and by the furnace, the wood burner we got in the basement, and start a good fire and sit there for 2 hours, 3 hours at night. Stare at the fire and say, thank God this is close, I'm going to get to hell. Amen, amen? Ask God for wisdom and not always get it, but ask Him for comfort and always get it. He was there before I ever knew what the purpose of the hurt was, what the purpose of the whole thing was. Invariably, it's going to be something He's already told me that I didn't get, just like it was for these guys. But what's the Lord's purpose? The Lord's purpose is to draw up close to you. He's there before He reveals Himself. Secondly, He is willing to hang around, but you must ask. If you look, notice me there in verse 29 or 28, but they drew nigh into the village whereby they went, or whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further. See that? He was about ready to leave. But they constrained Him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them. Now listen, folks, everything hinges. Everything hinges on these guys asking Jesus to stay for supper. Everything. Because he has not revealed himself to them yet. They don't know how strong he is on their behalf. He don't know what battles he's fighting for them. They're not aware of the thing. They're still hurting. But they ask this fellow that's taught them the scriptures. They've asked him to stay for supper. And he's not going to break bread unless they ask. He's not going to be there unless they ask. He's not going to stay to reveal himself to them unless they ask. He's alongside to find out, all right, now I walked with you for a few hours. Have you got enough sense to know this conversation ought to continue? Have you got enough sense to know that I'm at least a good man trying to help you? Have you got? Did not our hearts burn within us? Amen, amen? You see, he provides the way for you to ask him to stay for supper because your heart will burn. He'll teach you something you don't even know he's there. And you are learning things that you never learned before. The fog of war is starting to clear off the battlefield. You're starting to see some reason why this happened, some purpose in the whole thing. And there's things that happen to you in life that you look at. It takes you years to get the picture. And I'm sure there's some things that have happened to me that I'll never get the picture on until I have a glorified brain and a glorified body to surround it. But I know this. I know that God was there all the time because He's promised never to leave me or forsake me. He was there whether I saw him there or not. He was doing things for me. He was providing things for me. I was talking to Brother Darling, I think it was this day, and I may have told you this before, but it fits. My grandmother Troutman died after I was 6 months old. She used to hold me in her arms. My family name is Harley Bill. My dad's name was Harley. Rather than call me Harley Jr., they called me Harley Bill. And she used to rock Harley Bill in her arms and call him Billikens. Well, years and years later, I mean, this is, she died in 1940, and this was 2000 something. I'm sitting in my brother Les's living room, and his wife is a family historian. She's dug up records for all over. And she says, by the way, Harley Bill, I found the funeral oration of the Methodist preacher that buried your grandmother. I said, no kidding. And she showed me the sermon outline, the service outline, and enough of his message was written on that sheet of paper, typed on it, that he told how my grandmother was a soul winner and how my grandmother had led people to Christ and how my grandmother encouraged a girlfriend of hers not to marry a lost man. And I mean, wow, man. I mean, the kind of stuff we teach and preach today is if we invented it. And she knows she's dying when she's holding me. All right, Grandma, what are you going to be praying for if you knew you were dying and you're holding Madison in your arms? Dear God, do something special with this baby. I ain't got time to pray for all the others, Lord. I ain't got time to rock all the others to sleep, but do something with this one. Amen, amen? I think that's what Grandma was praying. I said, God, call this guy to preach. Do something with this boy. And God did. Not as much as as he wanted to, but he's got something done. And I think Grandma's got a smile on her face in heaven today. And sure, I'm glad I prayed that prayer. What? Jesus was around my life before he was in my heart. He was there due to Grandma's prayers. I had an aunt that lived with me for come out every summer for about 7 years from Mom died till I joined the Navy. She prayed for me, tried to get me to watch Billy Graham and other things. Alice got saved before I did, about 2 months. Went into the bathroom and made an altar out on the throne and asked God to say she'd do anything to get God to save her husband. She was a new Christian, didn't know you couldn't bargain with God, but she made a bargain with God. 2 months later, I was saved. Now, which one of those ladies do you think I want to do without? Grandma, my own mother prayed for me, my aunt, and my wife. God put 4 good women in my life to pray for me before I saved. Can you see Jesus Christ in that? He was there before I knew he was there. Preparing me for salvation and getting me ready to serve the Lord. he stuck around with these guys because they invited him to stay. And it came to pass that they constrained him, saying, abide with us. You remember that time on the sea, he's walking across the water? And the Bible says he would have passed by, but they cried out. You hurting tonight? He's there. Have you cried out? You see, it's the crying out that is going to lead to this situation where you're going to understand it's been God all along. It's been Jesus through the whole thing. He hasn't forgot about me and had to whip off the forces of the devil and rescue the rest of what's left of my life. He's been protecting that thing and watching over that thing all along. Job, it's not a misfortune that happened to you. It passed heaven's muster. Satan couldn't possibly get close to you without God's permission. God gave his permission. Job, he's got a purpose in the thing. And the Bible says early in Job, in all this, Job sinned not. What a man. You know what he could see? He could see God in it when God wouldn't reveal himself. He could see God in it. You get to Job chapter 42 and verse 10, and it said, God turned the captivity of Job. Now, how would you fill that sentence? God turned the captivity of Job when he had learned the lesson he should learn. God turned the captivity of Job because he was tired of how much pain he had caused his best child. God turned the captivity of Job because God had to go fight the devil someplace. God turned the captivity of Job when Job prayed for his friends. You realize when that book starts, Job is praying for his family and nobody else? And God was there every step of the way. How do you learn what God's doing with the tough stuff? Stick with it! Call out! Get on your knees as often as you have to. Get tears in your eyes as often as they come. But stick with the Lord. He is going to reveal himself. That's his design. That's what he wants to do. He just doesn't want to kiss the wound and say, my child, I wasn't looking and the devil got through and whooked you a couple of times. He just doesn't want to stitch it up and say, well, I'll try to watch it better next time. No, he's got a purpose in the thing. And he wants you to stick with it. If you'll stick with it, what did they say? They constrained him with the words, abide with me, fast falls eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. Good song, man. Good song. Why? It ministers to the heart of somebody who's hurting. Sir, would you abide with us? They didn't have to ask twice, amen? He went in, and listen, from that point on, Jesus is in the process of revealing himself. Okay? Until you ask him to stay, when you don't even know how close he is, you're not on the mend. When you ask him to stay, that's when he starts to reveal himself. There is going to be something happen. In this case, in just the next hour, if you ask him to stay. Listen now. Do you realize that these guys all along that road heard the best Bible ever taught on the face of the earth as far as they're concerned? And they heard it from a man's mouth that didn't know it was Jesus. But they gave attention. Did not our hearts burn within us? You ever been in a church service around here where God spoke to you? Doesn't that make you want to come back to church again? Doesn't mean, I think I was talking again with Brother Darling. And can I tell you, a preacher can tell when God's using him. You know the power of God is flowing through you to minister to somebody else. You know you're not worthy, and you're surprised that your lips and mouth and facial expressions and so forth can even be used of God to do anything, and yet you look out the audience and you see the power of the Holy Spirit working on people's lives. That is motivating, man. You know what makes me preach the next time? I'm having such a good time now. You know why I'll accept the next invitation when Brother Stevens invites me? Why? Because I'm having joy in this one. You people are easy to preach to. You want, when you come to church, to hear some good preaching. You just suck it right out of the preacher. My guess is a mediocre preacher such as myself can stand in this pulpit and be a better man of God than he deserves to be. Why? You came hungry tonight. That's what makes a church service. If you're sitting back there saying, I can't wait till this gets over. And by the way, where are you going to stop, at McDonald's or Hardee's afterwards? That ain't going to make it. You're going to have to realize that, Lord, listen, I'm attending a church service around here. I want to hear from heaven. I want to hear from God. I want to hear something. I've had people walk up to me this week. God's spoken to some of you. Isn't that good? That's a blessing, man. And what you say, well, Brother Kleck, you sure are a great preacher. No. No. Didn't you folks fast and pray before I ever got here? What were you saying when you were fasting and praying? Dear Lord, ruin the meetings? Dear Lord, it'd be all right if Brother Keck had a heart attack and we didn't have to listen to him seven times. Please don't pray that way. I'm too close to that. you didn't pray any prayer about the meetings being damaged. You prayed prayers about, I'd like to get something from you, God. Okay, can I tell you, you're going to get something. If you don't get it tonight, we got three services tomorrow. You'll get it then. But the Lord will speak to you. You've been asking God to speak to you. He'll speak to you. Okay, you say, I'm hurting and I'm coming to meetings to try to recover. Well, you came to the right place because these guys were hurting and that's the one God chose to minister to. Isn't it interesting he didn't go see those folks that were doing well? He went to see the guys that were hurting, that left town, that crashed the ministry, said, I'm out of here. And the Lord said, I know why they did it. They did it because they're hurting. They're not being rational. They're a little foggy in their thinking. And I'm not going to hold them responsible for that as much as I'm going to go help them with that. And he shows up before you ever know he's there. And if you'll just ask for the Lord to abide, he'll stay. It says, it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened. And they knew him. All right, forever thereafter, and their testimony was, we met Jesus on the road to Emmaus. When did you know he was Jesus? Well, after he broke the bread. But he was Jesus before we knew it. Amen, amen? Was the Lord before he became your Lord? Yeah. So what's going on? What's going on is the Lord is showing you how he prefers to operate. He prefers to bind up the wounds. He prefers to pour in a balm of Gilead. He prefers to be the healer. He prefers to be the great physician. He's not interested in his people wallowing in the sorrow and sadness that comes with difficulty. It happens. There is sorrow. There is sadness. There is disappointment. It's part of life. But the Lord will be around before you know it. And if you will ask him, I don't care if you want to ask him to draw close, you want to ask him to abide, you just want to ask him to help you. But if you'll cry out, even though your boat be on a storm at sea, he will start walking towards that boat. And Peter said, Lord, can I come to thee on the waves? And the Lord said, sure. And Peter got up, walked on the water, took his eyes off Jesus, and what? Sank. Okay? What's God wants you to do? He wants you to search around the edges of your life and all through it and find him. He's there someplace. He's there. Say, I just don't think he's there. I didn't ask you what you thought. Who cares what you thought? Who are you? What I want to know is, have you got faith enough to believe that the Lord who said, I'll never leave you, forsake you, has done exactly that? He hasn't left you and forsook you. our dear Lord saved this little boy when he grows up, and she didn't live to see it. Call this little boy to preach, Lord, and she didn't live to see it. My mother was talking to my oldest brother, and he was telling her about this long, tall, good-looking blonde he met by the name of Marge. And she was an airline stewardess. Is that what they used to call them? They call them hosts now or something. And Les flew to Kansas City to go to school, and Marge was on the plane, and match made in heaven. They were married for over 50 years. And but Les is telling Mom about it, as Mom is in the last 3 months of her life. And Mom, according to Les's testimony, gets this look on her face. She says, "Les, just a minute." She said, "You know," she says, "one of the problems I'm having with this cancer is I won't live to see Harley Bill's children." And Les, as he's telling me, he says, "Harley Bill, she didn't live to see mine either." And I'm the one telling her about her wife, and you're 10 years old. And your mother was concerned about seeing your kids. And he says, "I've always been a little bit jealous of you for that." You know, that sits real warm on my heart. My mama prayed for my kids. That's a good thing, man. I've had prayer for my children I didn't even know about. If Les had never told me that tale, I'd have never known it. I come bouncing in the room and jumped on the bed that day, and Les grabbed me and said, "Harley Bill, Mom's sick. You don't jump on a bed." And he ushered me to the door and gave me a pat on the rump and closed the door. He was having that talk about Marge with Mom. And he said, I walked back in and started to tell Mom about Marge. And she said, "Les." And she said, "Yeah, Mom." "Don't you ever kick Harley Bill out of my bedroom again." I was something special to my mama. But if my brother hadn't told me that, I'd have never learned it. How did that happen? I witnessed my brother, and he didn't speak to me for years. And I wrote him a letter. "Dear Les, I want to tell you how much I love you and how much of my life I owe to you being a big brother to me after Mama died. You taught me hunting. You taught me fishing. You taught me how to be a man. You taught me how to have the right values. You taught me how to handle a gun." And I went through a list of about 25 things. And he called me, broken up over the phone, saying, "Harley Bill, I didn't know you loved me." "Well, Les, I love you." Shortly after that, I'm visiting his home. I get to witness to him for 6 hours straight. And he tells me about me in the bed and about Mom wanting to see my kids. And okay. You see, any person alive doesn't tell you things they'd like to tell you if you're on the outs with them, or if you don't know that they love you. Jesus is what? He's trying to heal you up. He wounded you on purpose. What? To prove that this plan works, among other things. So that you can pass it on to somebody else. Or you can visit a hospital or visit a nursing home or some such thing as somebody that's hurting, and you can pass it on. The Lord is interested. He'll get there long before you know He's there. And if you just ask Him to help, to stay, He will eventually reveal Himself. Grandpa, what's one of the best things that ever happened to you? Well, the best thing that ever happened to me, son, was I got saved. But I want to tell you about a trip I took one day on the road to Emmaus. Son, I saw Jesus face to face. He cared enough for me to show up. Well, what was going on, Grandpa? I was hurting, son. I was thinking of quitting the ministry. I was bailing out. I had left town. I'm on my way home. I've had enough of it. And Jesus showed up. Now, what are you going to talk about 5 years from now? It could be what you're going through tonight. It could be what you're going through now. And you're going to be able to tell somebody, let me tell you, Jesus is there, whether you know He's there or not. And if you ask Him to stay, He'll stay. And if you ask Him to stay, He'll reveal Himself to you. And you'll know what He wants you to know about the circumstances. Grandpa, you ever been discouraged? Oh, yes, son, lots of times. But I know what to do now. Oh, Grandpa, what do? I get on my knees. I talk to Jesus, son. I take it before the Master. I get rid of it just as quick as I can. And I let Him know I'm His, and I want Him to stick around, and I want Him to reveal Himself to me. I want to see Jesus in what's happening to me. You got to ask, folks. You got to ask. And all God's people said, Lord, help us tonight. We desire, Lord, particularly if we're here and hurting, we desire to see Jesus in it. And Lord, we're clouded up. We're hurt. Our emotions are beating us from pillar to post, and it's a stinking roller coaster ride. Lord, we're not doing as right and as good a heart as we used to do. We're here tonight, but Lord, that's about all we got left in our gospel gun is the fact that we can show up. And Lord, we need to see Jesus in it. And so, Lord, I pray tonight that You would hang around long enough, Lord, to show us Yourself. And that will suffice us. Lord, that'll take care of everything. That'll answer all the questions. Now, Lord, I don't need to know half the answer to half the questions that I want to ask. All I really need to know is, Lord, are You there? When I could not come to where You are, You came to me. Oh, God, I need another touch like that. I need You to come to me. I pray tonight, Lord, You'll help us. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, let's just remain with our heads bowed here. Talk so much here these last months about stuff folks are going through in church, some things known, some things unknown, publicly, openly. And somewhere in that course of that conversation, of course, the answer is always to turn to the Lord and have fellowship with Him, and He'll receive you and minister to you. And sometimes in those things that we know are true, you still manage to miss the real message to it, the real import of it, the power behind it. I think you should have been impressed by what you heard tonight. I have some idea what some of you are going through. Maybe I have no idea what some of you are going through. Somebody does. He allowed the hurt to take place. He allowed the breach. I want you to respond to it like these guys did. Still open, but let's all look this way and turn to number 75. Brother Keck mentioned this song. The We'll sing this, number 75. Prayed, you fasted, so you're getting it right between the eyes, right? It's been good, real good. Look forward to tomorrow. Try to get out of here a decent hour tonight, and we'll meet here again 9:45 in the morning, regular times. Brother Keck will be teaching Sunday school as well, so you teachers, it's up to you whether you have Sunday school or not. You can have the kids in here if you like. Let's have a word of prayer. Be dismissed. Father, once again, we... glad to have our prayers answered as far as you ministering to us. Lord, we know thou art the Lord of the balm of Gilead, and sure are glad that we have a God that's able to comfort as well as smite, reprove, and rebuke. Father, grateful for that. We pray here tonight, these things spoken this week, not just this thing tonight that's so easy to remember, but from the very beginning, the things that were spoken early on Wednesday. Father, we might go back through those things and remember them. May they be a comfort to us, a guide and a help. That's what this is intended for. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, good night.